So there's a lot of sleepless night because they are too excited. And I believe there are many of us in that category. Today we just want to just summarize the book of Galatians and put closure to our study. It's been a wonderful journey, even though throughout the year we kind of have a long lap. For those of you who are here for the first time, I want to welcome you again. And we as a church has been going through the book of Galatians, study of Paul's letter to the Galatians, and see what we can learn from this passage. And also, how does this truth of the scripture make sense to how we live today? So today we want to wrap up, but I would like to take a moment just to go through what we've learned so far, and you will help me, because we've been doing this together, right? So, it's a fantastic story. Let me just put this up quickly. Sure, it's... one of the churches that they've planted. And this specific letter, he's writing to the Galatian church on the northern part. What happened was this. Paul came and preached the gospel of salvation. And then he heard later on, after he left, that there's a group, another group of people came. And they came to this church, this community, and say to them, hey, what Paul is preaching, you need to, that is not the gospel. Yeah? So Paul is talking about salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to the Gentiles, encouraging them that their destiny and their inheritance is rooted in Christ Jesus, not the ritual and the tradition. And he said that not by what you do, but who you believe, who you put your faith in. And so he went on to defend his gospel and the authority. Now, Paul explained to them, I was a radical Jew. I was so committed and loyal to the tradition of my forefathers. And I have persecuted others in order to protect our tradition and our religion. Paul, that's what he said. But I had an encounter. He said, how the gospel came to me, I had an encounter. And he explained about this encounter and how in the encounter God on his way to persecute believers, Christians. He said it was there that he had this revelation and encounter that the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he was a radical person. He thought what he was doing in protecting the tradition of his father and forcing them to the people that they will bring salvation. But later on he realized, you know, when he had that vision that Jesus Christ showed himself to him on his way. And then what happened, he said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. His life transformed from a person who is feared into a person who is humbled by the gospel of Jesus Christ, who had an understanding of what the cross is, that his power and his radical view of religion were broken down when he realized what the cross is all about. That Christ, the Son of the living God, came and laid down his life, that his death on the cross, by humbling the persecution and all the torture that he went through, was for Paul's sin, that he did it all for Paul's sin. That the cross itself demonstrated not weakness as the Jew sees it and the Gentiles see it as stupidity, but the wisdom of God demonstrated on the cross. Nobody knew what God was doing on the cross except for God himself. What happened there? The cross is the symbol of salvation. That he who knew no sin took on the full wrath of the punishment of humanity upon himself, that we will walk in freedom. Amen? And that's for Paul. He said, this is the gospel, that by the grace and the grace of God alone, you are safe and nothing else. Isn't that wonderful? But the teachers who came and said, no, that is not enough. You need this tradition. You need to go through, yes, so it's okay that you believe in Jesus Christ, but that's not enough. You need to go through some rituals in order for you to what? To gain that salvation. You need to do something for yourself in order for you to be saved. You can contribute in it by going through this tradition. Paul said, no, it's no more. It's having faith in Christ Jesus, that by his grace and his mercy, you are saved. And then Paul demonstrates how the law, the Jews, they are very, law is important to them. And Paul says, it's no longer following the law and the rules will not save you, but Jesus Christ, having faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, so he demonstrated what is like the law. He talked about how we've been bound to the law. If you're going to follow the law, you have to accomplish every law that's there. You have to fulfill all of them, not just one or two, all. Yeah? So he tells that by the law, you feel like you were in prison trying to do this in order to please God, but God had shown his favor upon us through Christ Jesus on the cross, that the cross demonstrate to us, you and I, how much we are value and how much we are worth in the eyes of God. What else did Paul do? Yeah. And then he talked about also the covenant, that we are part of the covenant because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, covenant, the Jews, they were talking about traditionally, that's them. Yeah. The covenant that God made. So he talked about two covenants. One is the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, in which God gave to Abraham. He said, for you Gentiles, you are not even Jews. Yeah, but you are part, because of your faith, you are part of the seed of Abraham. Yeah, that God gave Abraham a covenant that he will be the father to many nations. Yeah. And the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, is about the law. God says to his people, I will give them the law, yeah, to keep you accountable. You do this and I will bless you. If you don't do this, curse will come upon you. That's the law. And so for generation, the Jews, they have been trying their best to fulfill all the law because it will bring them righteousness and the favor of God. And Paul said that we are bound to it. But the Christ has come. He has fulfilled all the law by having faith in Christ Jesus, accepting what he did on the cross for the punishment. He had taken it all. The curse of the law, Christ has taken it all for you and I. Yeah? And then you talk about covenant, the covenant of Abraham. Covenant, I'm just going to go quickly here. We talked about covenant as an agreement between two parties. And when we look at covenant in the time of Abraham, how they make covenant is very interesting. What happened in ancient time during covenant with Abraham, when they make agreement between the two parties, whether it's to do with land or other, They would put carcass. They would kill animals and birds, and they would line them up. And then each party will walk through these carcass. As they walk through, they declare they're part of agreement. Yeah? And then the other one said he's part of the agreement. God did that to Abraham. He said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, 14 and 15, he said, Abraham, I've chosen you. Yeah? I want to make a covenant with you. So I want you to bring the animals and prepare the ceremony. So they did that. Normally, it's a two parties. They will do that. So after Abraham prepared everything, he says that he fell asleep. So when he fell asleep, he had a vision that he saw a fire from heaven came and walked through the dead carcass and went past this dead carcass. And he has this fire. It's like a supernatural fire went through the carcass. A voice came. It was the voice of God. And God proclaimed his part of the deal to Abraham. When Abraham woke up, it was done. Abraham didn't do anything. He didn't have to walk past and make his part of the agreement. God himself initiated this covenant. It wasn't a two-party, it was unilateral. God put Abraham asleep so he won't walk through. And he made this covenant. He himself, he said, I will bless you. I'm going to do this to you. There's nothing you can do, Abraham, to annul this covenant that I have with you. It's a done deal. It's amazing when you think about that. God himself made that covenant. Abraham didn't have to do anything. And Paul said, this, you are the seed of Abraham. He told the Gentiles, because of your faith in Christ, you are part of this covenant. You become children in the seed of God. Interesting. And then the last few chapters talking about how do we live out our faith. Yeah? Talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It said that if you walk in the way that you did us, the other party who's been twisting the message of salvation, the message of grace, the message that you are worth, you are valued by God, and there's nothing you can do to earn his favor except by putting our faith in him. Yeah? So he said, but this is how you are going to continue walking in that. Walk in the Spirit. God has given us his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is with us. For those who believe, God has given us the Spirit. God himself, his presence, walking, accompanying us, a comforter. It says in Matthew that I will give you, when I go up, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the comforter. He will be with you. He will remind you of everything that I've taught you, he told his disciple. He will empower you to live right. He will keep you from all wrong. And then he said, how do we do that? We have to, because the flesh and the Spirit is in conflict. So he said, walk in the Spirit. Cultivate it. Yeah? And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness. You know, some call virtues. But these are the manifestation of the very heart of God. He said, you walk in this. And then he also said in chapter 5, bear one another's burden. Love one another. Don't talk about each other. Love them. If somebody is in need, go and help them. Support them. This is the gospel. This is the manifestation of the gospel. First, we receive his grace. Paul is saying, you don't need to pay anything. It doesn't cost you, but your faith. Yeah? And then he said, and this is how you live. This is how you live out that gospel. Yeah? You cannot do it on your own, but the Spirit
of God is in you helps us to grow. Jan was talking about to walk in the Spirit means to march. Yeah, like the military, they march together in unison, that we walk in unison with the Spirit. We know that it is sometimes it's difficult to do the right thing. Yeah, even if you don't want to do it, but we do it anyway. So, and then we come to the end of the chapter. Paul speaks about, he said, I boast on nothing else, because these guys who were coming, these false teachers, they were boasting about what they've done. Yeah? So they came to the Galatians and said, you need to do this ritual. Come on, do it. They did it. Says, yes. Yeah? So Paul said, they're using you so they can glory in their influence in your life. Yeah? So what he talks about, Paul says here, flesh and the spirit, outward or inward. And he's talking about not so much the ritual, yeah, even though those are important, but this ritual will never get you to heaven or in right relationship with God. He said, I'm more focused on the inward transformation. And that's what he says. Let me just read that out. In Galatians, Paul says here, excuse me, neither circumcision No uncircumcision means anything. He said, what count is, he said, listen very carefully, it's the new creation. It's the transforming work that God is doing, that we used to be like this. Now, we're changed people. This is what we used to do. But now it is called freedom. One, freedom from the law, that you are not bound over. I'm not sure if God still loves me. I haven't done this. I have to do this. I have to do this in order for God to really, really love me. No. God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. How did he demonstrate his love? Through the cross. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That means you and I. That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah? That assurance is freedom. It brings freedom to us. And then Paul says also, watch out for your freedom. Yeah? Watch out for your freedom, that you might what? Enslave yourself, bound yourself to other things. You see, walk in freedom is walking in the Spirit. And that's something that I wanna bring this to us. What do we do after we read God's word? How do we connect the things that we know to be true and actually live it out? How do we put that I've been having fun with my kids because they already have their break, and my son is so excited about school break. Yeah, you know, forget about school. But that excitement, I have to set some rules and guidelines. Otherwise, it'll be all over the place. You got to be creative, that rules and guidelines become as attractive and fun as well. That they can have fun and yet still be within that guideline. As Christians, we talk about knowledge.
We talk about how do we leave out the things that we have learned. There are many, many terms you will hear in Christianity about head knowledge and heart knowledge. In the Hebrew context of knowledge, these two, they are connected. They are not separate or distinct from each other. In other words, say belief and behavior. Yeah? How, that's what Paul is saying here. Now, you used to live like this. Now you have to walk this way. Yeah? To really live in the freedom that God has given you. Walk right. Live right. So how do we bring our belief and behavior together? We talk about, like I said, head knowledge and heart knowledge. If I don't live out something, that means I don't know something. The Hebrew, these two are inseparable. What I believe, I'm going to live out. This understanding of knowledge is embodied in one. That behavior and belief, they are part of each other. What Paul is saying to them is this, is consistency. To live out our life, the freedom, cultivate, he says, sow in the spirit, you will reap its reward. That whatever we sow, we will reap. That's what he's saying. Walk in the spirit, sow in the spirit, cultivate, put belief and behavior together. Consistency, Paul say, it will bring growth to you. It will also bring freedom to you. We have a different definition of freedom nowadays. I read an article. Let me just read out this. God is a God of grace. This is, I quote this from an article that I read. And has no expectation of your life. We live grace, so just live the way you want to in the name of freedom. That we are free. I can do whatever I want to do. God is grace. We live by grace. That is not the definition of freedom that God is urging us as believers. To walk in the Spirit, to live in right relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters, to carry one another's burden. When someone is broken, what do we do? How can we restore our people, our fellow brothers? How can we be quick to come and lend a hand to restore people? In this society today, before restoration, we read things on the media, and many times we are too slow to extend our hand to one another. Paul's saying, when you do this, you are fulfilling the law of God, because that's what God did to us. When we were still sinners, Christ died, all of us. While we were still slave to our own lives, our own habits, our own addiction, he came to free us out of it. The book of Galatians speaks to us of the grace the unmerited grace of God, that we don't deserve his mercy, and yet he stooped out. He extended his hand, and he took our unworthiness, our sin, our brokenness, and he gave us himself. He forgave us. He restored us. And he says, the song we just sang, for adoption. What's the song again? I'm no longer slave to fear.
I'm no longer slave to insecurity. I'm no longer slave to what others think of me. If I do this, what will they say? Yeah? For I am the child of God, that my value and my worth is found in the very heart of God. That he sees us, he sees me, he sees you and I in the midst of our brokenness. That he sees us and he loves us, he reaches out his hand and he holds us. Not only that he forgave us, but he adopted us into his family. And he says, and we talk about the Abrahamic covenant, that you become heir also. Said you are the seed of Abraham, that you share in the inheritance that I have given to your forefathers. How do we do that? I think we all have our own. I believe God is doing wonderful things in the lives of people that are here, families, individuals. And let's continue to do that. Let's keep the good work. Keep sowing good seed. One thing I was looking forward to, you know, I have an addiction, I have to tell you. I love mangoes, not coffee. Ask my wife. Every time I go to Rima Tucson, I have to look for ripe mangoes every day. I love mangoes. But unfortunately, it's not mango season in Fiji. Yeah, when it's mango season in Fiji, in December, mangoes fall down. Same in different other places. What he's saying, Paul was saying, sow and you will reap. One seed of mango, if you plant one seed of mango, it'll grow into a tree. And when it bear fruit, you don't get just one mango. Mangoes rain down on you when it's mango season. Yeah? And the principle here, we reap more than what we sow. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to thank you for your love for us, how much you value us. You value our children, our family, how much we are worth to you. And as we put closure to this message today, looking at Galatians, Lord, that our behavior in our, that we will live out the things that we believe to be true. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.